SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Ah, by the way, there's only one game tonight in the NBA because that's the only game you need. Why? The Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Commanders are going to take up your primetime action tonight. It's the best hour of your day. It's officially underway. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie, Kevin. And we got a lot to get to. And if you're watching here, Kevin with the Eagles hat on, me with an Eagles shirt on, it's going to be action-packed. And I expect to get points. I expect to cash in tickets. And I expect electricity tonight in Philly.
It is a game I'm excited for. It's a game I'm nervous for, though. The starting point, Donnie, for me this year, you obviously well aware. I picked the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. Not because I'm an Eagle fan. That's truly where my breakdown led me, value, everything. They were my bet. And I realized very quickly in week number one when they were playing the Green Bay Packers that there's then just a little extra oomph that gets added to it when you're watching your team who's your pick to win a Super Bowl. It just is. Mm-hmm. And tonight's game is kind of the most I am feeling it since that week one game against Green Bay. Simply, the Packers are one of the better teams in the NFC. And, you know, if Philly got off to an 0-1 start, that's not great, right? And so I was, I really wanted them to get that win, and they did. And here tonight, for the Philadelphia Eagles, they have a chance to completely shift into, I think, a different conversation. I don't think it's no longer, Eagles are playing good, or Eagles are, you know, beating up on some teams that are here. So with a win tonight, this team at minus 250 to win the division will go to around minus 500 to win the division. Their odds to win the Super Bowl are around 10-1. I think they'll drop below that marker. Hurts will get under 10-1 to win MVP, most likely. I mean, I guess it depends on how the game plays out. And people will start to, Donnie, have no choice but to look at the Philadelphia Eagles as one of the best teams in football. Because I still think right now, people, of course, we hear the way they talk about Detroit. And again, I've told you, I have no problem with you picking or betting the Lions to win the conference. The Lions are a very good football team, right? They are. But nobody, but if I sit here and I tell people the Eagles are the best team in the NFC, they look at me like I just said the Seahawks are the best team in the NFC. People don't look at the Philadelphia Eagles in that way. And tonight, Donnie, I think with a win in prime time, they will.
Yes. Coming around is the wrong word, but starting to believe in the statistics and how they play out tonight. Chilly conditions in Philadelphia. Let me just get the latest updated reports here for tonight's game because it's always interesting. 46 degrees at kickoff, no rain in the forecast whatsoever, winds under 10 miles an hour. It's an absolutely perfect November night in the Northeast for football. If we're just looking at statistics, and people use a lot of different metrics, one that I do like to use is Pro Football Focus. You know the number one overall defense in the NFL is? Oh, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. How about that? You know who has the best pass rush in the NFL? It's the Philadelphia Eagles. You know who covers better than every other team in the NFL? It's the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, Washington Commanders, they got a pretty solid defense, or it's decent. It's Dan Quinn. Bottom five defense overall. No Lattimore tonight to try to help out those wide receivers for the Philadelphia Eagles. This is the first time, Kevin, because I've bet Jalen Hurts to score a touchdown twice this season. It's cashed in both times for me. Might bet him again to score a touchdown. But you know the market I love. I now start to shift to over 1.5 touchdown passes. I now start to look at that 225 and say, I'm going over. Because I do think the Eagles' defense is very good and much better than Washington. But I do think Washington's offense will be moving the football as a running mate. Because last week, the Philadelphia Eagles scored 34 points. Could have scored 64 points if Dallas actually had a heartbeat here. We've seen that multiple times this year. Remember the Giants game, 28-3, where the Eagles basically just took a knee the entire second half and I think blew up Joe Lisi's total in that game because the Giants were done.
Yes.
You give the Eagles a running mate with the defense that Washington has, there's a minimum tonight for me, four touchdowns available to bet for the Philadelphia Eagles. Whether that's A.J. Brown, love him tonight. A rushing touchdown for Saquon makes some sense. Two touchdown passes for, obviously, Jalen Hurts thinks it makes some sense. So that's the way I'm starting to build things up for tonight. But just from a perspective, if I look at both of the offenses, the Eagles' offense is better. If I look at both defenses, the Eagles' defense is better. Where is this game being played on a Thursday night? It's in Philadelphia. It's simple for me. It really is.
Yeah, I think, Donnie, there's a lot of interesting shots out there. But if I can go to the numbers that you bring up on the Philadelphia Eagles' defense, the early returns for this team, right, in Green Bay, you were kind of leading the charge. You're like, hey, guys, game doesn't count. No matter what happens, erase it. The field was crazy. Let's move on. The Green Bay Packers offense is probably still the best one that Philly has seen this season. And I think it kind of put the perception of Philadelphia a little bit behind the eight ball because of how bad they were last year. And they were bad last year. Heck, even the Super Bowl run, that Eagles defense had some issues. And everybody knows it.
Yeah.
But that team left their bye week. And they were bad against Tampa Bay because they just, I don't know. Clearly, everybody was like, get us to the bye. I remember you said it, Donnie, and as right as you've been about anything all year, and I say that as a compliment, that the Eagles were so lucky to have their bye right away. Boy, did that team need to hit that bye in week five, and that's exactly what they did. And they've come out, Donnie, from that bye. I mean, how many touchdowns have they even allowed? Browns couldn't move the ball on the offensive side. And again, I know it's like, oh, it's the Browns. The Browns don't get shut out in every game they play, okay? Oh, they completely roll the Giants.
Okay, Browns
the
Giants on defense, two special teams that game.
Yes. Donnie, the Giants were moving the football all over the Pittsburgh Steelers. I dare anybody to say they have a bad defense. Yeah. Again, Eagles absolutely decimate that team. You and I both had expectations for Cooper Rush and the Cowboys offense heading into that game against Philadelphia. The Eagles demolished them. Absolutely destroyed them in that football game. And within this run, you also have the performance against Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. And you know, Donnie, we sit here and we tell ourselves, no Higgins, I don't know, no Higgins went and played Baltimore and threw for 400 yards in that game. So, I don't know, again, like, and people, Donnie, would tell you, Donnie, if you ask most people, better defense, Ravens or Eagles, Ravens would win the poll. That's wrong. Correct. It's just wrong. So, tonight, the Eagles' defense has a real chance to step up, though, because Jaden Daniels came out of the bye and played his worst game as a pro, if we throw out the debut, which is, come on, it's a debut. So I want to see, Donnie, if Philadelphia can take advantage in the way that Pittsburgh did, or does Jaden Daniels bounce back? It's a really important part of the game.
It is an important part of the game. Another important part of the game is your offensive line. Jordan Mailata activated for this game, so that offensive line is back intact. No more Fred Johnson out there trying to hang around and just getting blitzed up in that pocket. So that cues well, because when you look at the Eagles' offense coming into the season, everybody, again, if you're an Eagles fan or just betting on the team, was excited. Wonder if Saquon Barkley can be healthy. Wonder if Jalen Hurts can be healthy. Wonder if Dallas Goedert can be healthy. Wonder if the offensive line can be healthy. How about Devonta Smith can be healthy, and also on the outside, A.J. Brown. They're all healthy tonight. Like, there are ways to exploit this defense. I'm interested to see how Sirianni handles it. Is he staying extra aggressive, which is his MO? I think he does. Because some of the questions that came up, Kevin, with that 3.5 were, ooh, you know what? If it was 3, I would like it more. And I sort of punched back at that by saying, the Eagles are an unconventional offense when it deals to the numbers, Kevin. 3, 7, 13.5, 14, 17, 20. You get the point, right? If it's the end of the game, and I preface this by telling Ben this. The Eagles, if there's 4.5 minutes to go on the clock, Kevin, and their tie game, it's 20-20. They have a fourth and about a football. They're not kicking that field goal. They're going to quarterback sneak, bleed that clock down, and maybe even score a touchdown. Also, two-point conversions early in the game. You see them going for it, which could blow up that 3 number. So I wouldn't get too caught up in threes. And by the way, while you're getting caught up in that, my lights are blinking right now. DraftKings now at 4. Bet365 now at 4. Westgate, Nevada, minus 4 points here. Still hanging at FanDuel at 3.5, but those lines are on the move, and I firmly believe that. Sometimes you have to just look at the numbers as you get closer to the game and get a better feel. The Eagles are better across the board in every way, shape, or form, and are home tonight. Are we getting a bargain, Kevin, at 3.5 is the question. Not how close this game will actually be. Let's talk some fun tonight. Keep it right here. It's Moneyline. Sonny, Kevin, we'll be right back.
Sports SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're going to talk more NFL. Absolutely. What a great weekend of football, because you got, like, for three games that really mean something. The Eagles and the Commanders, unbelievable. It's going to get big ratings tonight. Hopefully it's a clean game all the way through. Everybody wins all their bets. Sunday, then, at the 1 o'clock hour, you have the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. 4 o'clock hour, it's the Buffalo Bills and Kansas City. Everything sets up well. But there are some things I do want to talk about here, which crossed my desk, as I like to say, in the last half hour. I love college football this season, and I'll continue to say it again. Any of you fools out here, and I'm going to continue to take victory laps. This has been so much fun and so intriguing every single week. You guys got to be idiots to say you loved it better because there's going to be blowouts in the college football playoff, and you only want two teams. You idiots out here, you're dumb. You don't know what you're talking about. But the things I've been, like, I've been dancing on graves for a while, and it's Florida State's Kevin. ESPN headline today, 4-star quarterback, 6th. To decommit from FSU's 2025 class. Because I'm not following recruiting as much as I used to in the past. Like, oh, who are these guys getting? You subscribe to the services. It's fun. I don't have time for that. But I was always wondering myself, saying, if you are a recruit and you can go anywhere you want to, does Florida State, like, not even have, like, are you going, like, the kids that were going to go, like, D2 because of how bad that university is? Now, granted, NIL money, you could throw people at it. And some people, hey, I always liked Florida State. I want to try to rebuild it. But that doesn't surprise me at all. Like, who the hell would go to FSU in that Titanic ship right now?
It is worse than even the biggest pessimist in the world could imagine. You know, like, Donnie, I liked their win total under heading into the year. That's because it was it 10.5, 9.5? Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, when they were sitting there like 1-4, people were like, oh, you think they're going to fire Norvell? It was kind of like, I don't know, man. Last year was special. It's hard to fire them. A lot of they haven't won since. They have one win. It was against Cal at home, I think by 5 points. They got destroyed.
And they should have lost that game,
Carolina.
Yeah, I remember watching that game. I was like, they're going to lose this game, and somehow pulled it out. That was their one win. And you're right. They're not even competitive in games.
No.
Like, it used to be in the past, like, hey, Florida State's underperforming this year. They went 8-3. It's like, oh, now the time they can step in there. They need a quarterback. I'll go there. It looks so off the rails that even, like, kids are like, boy, I'm a 4-star quarterback. I probably can start next year as a freshman. Yeah, they're going to ruin my career. I can't even go there anymore.
But what I don't know, like, Don, again, like I said, right, like I kind of thought win total under. I don't know how this is possible. I don't know if there are many teams out there. Like Michigan, Donnie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Won the national championship last year, unbeaten.
Yes.
Lost a ton of pros, right? Probably more pros than Florida State, okay? Yeah. Michigan is still going to, like, make a bowl game, right? Michigan still brings, you know, bad teams into their building and gets wins, right? Beat Michigan State or, you know, beat Minnesota, whatever it might be. The Florida State being this bad is unimaginable. There are still NFL-level players on the roster. Like, I'll go as far as to say they, like, ruined DJU. Like, I know, like, because we were initially having fun with how bad DJU is. Donnie, he's never looked this bad, right?
Probably, I know he's not like been a the Heisman quarterback Trophy now. Candidate between what they actually were getting now, too. It's like, hey, man, it wasn't so bad with DJU at this point, right?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Let me ask you this, because there was a, you know, you talk about stuff that came across your desk, so I don't know if I'm jumping into one of the subjects, but there was some chatter this morning on the ESPN desk about Deion going with Shador to an NFL team.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure you have plenty of takes on that, but let me just say, Donnie, if you're Deion, and Florida State calls, you go?
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah. Because
he understand this about head coaches. Like, Deion would love to take over for, like, Nick Saban. A lot of coaches would. DeBoer rode those coattails. He's a great coach. He should be able to step in and still be, maybe nobody's ever going to win it, maybe Saban clips, but he'll be fine. But when you look at coaching advantages, Kevin, he takes Colorado, dead in the dirt, horrendous, maybe the worst Division I football team, turns them into somewhat a winner, and then he goes, wait a second here. Florida State, a perennial powerhouse in college football, is so down low. I go there, Kevin, and I win 5 games next year. I am a genius. I'm going to sign for more money. Like, for me, that is a genius move for any college football coach worth their salt to go to FSU, because you can step into that void. Like, remember Urban Meyer, dominant at Florida, unbelievable, retires, health conditions, whatever it was. He waits and lays in wait and sees Ohio State have one down season, which is nowhere near what Florida State's going through, steps in there and goes, watch this. And in a year, he was an absolutely legendary figure. Like, if you can buy a powerhouse institute and somewhat after a down year take over, that's exactly where I go. Deion, the Florida State makes too much sense at this point.
And I think if you're Deion, right? Listen, Deion's an incredible recruiter. But Shador is his son. And, you know, Travis Hunter is essentially his son. Yes. That is the big advantage that Deion has. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to get those kids at Jackson State or even at Colorado.
Yeah.
Like, we never, Donnie, got into the Patrick Baldwin conversation.
Yeah.
But that was because I think college football and college basketball are different. Right.
Correct.
And Colorado was not Milwaukee or wherever the kid went, you know, Baldwin.
Yep.
So we didn't get it. But, you know, like, Donnie, like, Shador could have played at Bama, right? Or Georgia or one of those schools. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But now, Deion being able to go, well, I can get these kids to Florida State.
Yes.
I mean, he is going to clean up.
Yeah.
And if you're Florida State, like, Donnie, you're talking about all these decommits. I think you need that type of person. I'm not sure you go out there and get Jamie Chadwell, okay?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he's starting to bring in 5 stars to Florida State. Yeah. I don't care how good you think of a coach he is. You know what I mean?
Yes. That's why everybody looked at the Norvell move. It's like, hey, I think he's a good football coach, but that's not a Florida State move per se. Like back in the day when Miami was just stumbling around and going, you know what? Temple's coach is pretty good, Al Golden. Long term, that you need, at these programs, more importantly than X and O's, which sounds crazy, you need a rock star that can bring those kids in and then have a good coaching staff around them. That's the battle in college football. And the other I wanted to pick up real quick before we get to the break here, Michigan are going to offer a kid 4 years, $10.5 million for LSU 5-star commit Bryce Underwood. It's amazing. Like, if you're Bryce Underwood, you see that money, it's life changing at that point. Why don't you go there and the offensive system stinks? Like, why wouldn't you go somewhere to be a good quarterback and then go pro and make billions of dollars, it feels like, at this point? College football is off the rails, no question about it. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline. More football. It's on the way.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Got a big game tonight in Philadelphia. It's the Commanders and the Eagles. A great football weekend ahead, no doubt about it, in the NFL. I call it Separation Sunday, which, again, is going to have a layover here on Thursday night. Eagles win, massive in the NFC East. Washington wins, massive in the NFC East. AFC as a whole, the Buffalo Bills can pull out that victory against Kansas City, maybe resets a bit. But if Kansas City wins, is it already all said and done that everything goes through Kansas City in the 1 o'clock game? You're going to love that one, too. The Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers, the 3 points, throw the records out, even though they're both fantastic. Those two teams absolutely hate each other, but it does start tonight in Philadelphia. Building things out on Fanatics, we've been taking advantage, Kevin, as you know, of the no-sweat bets. My last one tonight that I put together, I actually put it together yesterday just to get it out there, so it sort of cleared my head for today when I start to really analyze. It was A.J. Brown to get 50 yards receiving, Terry McLaurin to get 35 yards receiving, and Jalen Hurts to throw for over 200 yards. That's a plus 100 price that I got yesterday on the Fanatics Sportsbook. But I'm trying to build out where I'm going tonight. Now, granted, you'll like this too, Kevin. We sat on the desk last Thursday night. Bet365, to me, is an amazing book. They have great pricing. They do so many fun things, a lot of good boosts, a lot of good props. Mm-hmm. Maybe the best one in the business has been chopped down, Kevin. Can you believe it? And it was, bet at least $50 on a Thursday night. Every touchdown's worth $10. There's no cap on it. They scored 10 touchdowns last Thursday. So if you won your bet, let's just say you picked up $100, they slapped another $100 in everybody's account if they just did that win or lose. This week, Kevin, it excited people, $5 per touchdown, which again, theoretically, could still get your money back, but 10 touchdowns to get the $50 back if you lose it doesn't hit as well as 10. Like, 10 was maybe the best, because you know me, I love 50% same game boost. I really do love that. But that $10 boost, that doesn't, like, off the bat, like, it doesn't even read like, oh, I don't know how sexy that actually is. Played it every single week, and it was the best boost on the planet. Cut down the five at Bet365. We can't have nice things.
Yeah, that's a bit of a shame. It is not, though, I think the worst boost adjustment I saw, Donnie. The King of the Court.
Oh, wait, yes, it's back, I saw. Okay, tell me.
It's back every Wednesday, but for those who bet King of the Court during the month of October would know, you were given a 25, 50% odds boost for your wager.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
Now, you could bet a max of varying, right? 10, 25, that's draft. Yeah,
mine was 10.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yep. But Donnie also had, like, you only had to bet like a dollar if you wanted to be activated into the pool. Mm-hmm. Well, King of the Court came back.
Yes, it did.
No odds boost.
Whoa.
No odds boost. Just a qualifying wager.
Uh-huh.
And you have to bet at least $5.
Okay.
So now, instead of Donnie getting a boosted bet, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're just betting. You're just betting. That's all you're doing. Like, you're not... You're just betting to get into the pot. And I understand, right, like, that they're giving out a pot. But
yes,
they also need to understand, like, here's the thing, right? There's a few things that when Donnie and I agree, we might have 100% hit rate on stuff, okay?
Yes.
And Donnie and I agree on the power of odds boost. DraftKings has had people beating down their doors for days. Weeks, bring back King of the Court.
Correct.
Bring back King. People are begging to bet basketball on their book. Okay. I understand that giving out $1 million in free bets daily could be a lot. But if you're going to bring the promo back, okay, first of all, I don't know if I do it on a Wednesday, considering that the NBA Cup is now, like, I don't know, that the Tuesdays, the Fridays, that's when the big slates are, but whatever. But leave the odds boost a part of it. Give people the boost. It makes them feel good. It's more likely than for people to get in the mix. It's a simple thing. Don't be like, come on, we're already giving them so much. You give people 20%. I bet AD to score the most points in the Laker game last night. I lost my bet, and I would have lost it whether it was boosted or not. So just do it the way you were doing it. You have a winner on your hands.
It does. And it's the same thing with once a week. You're giving away a decent amount. Now, not every week you get 10 touchdowns. Sometimes you get 4 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns. But the goal, like, if I was running a sports book, is I just want vibes and I want people always checking in. Because there's two things I do every single day, Kevin. I log in the FanDuel and I log in the Bet365. If there's boost, I bet them. If there's not boost, I still bet there. But I know every once in a while they're giving that stuff. You know where I don't go? ESPN Bet. Signed up, got the free bonuses, realized how bad the book is. They never gave them back again. They don't get my business. But apparently, giving away boosts is better than actually losing fan bases out here to bet. Get out of here. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's talk about it, people. We're going to get back to the NFL game. A lot of great stuff. But as you guys know, we'll be live tonight. Pro Football Today in studio. Tom Vecchio filling in for Joe Lisi out on assignment in the state of Florida. But we got some action tonight. It's going to be fun. We'll be able to get after it. I do want to talk a little NBA, Kevin, with you yesterday.
Okay.
I did see the Cleveland Cavaliers, the sixth team ever to start 13-0. They beat the Philadelphia 76ers. I actually lost money on this game. I took the Sixers team total under 103.5. End up scoring 106. McCain was very good yesterday. Took a ton of shots, got 10 assists. Looks like he might be a player. But I don't want to focus on the Sixers, which, again, they are going to be favorites against Orlando because Embiid and Paul George are back. I can get angry at the NBA. I continue to say it. The fact that this league, and maybe it didn't, you know, come in, Kevin, 30 years ago. Players played every night. That was their job. That's what they did. They weren't always on TV. So, like Michael Jordan would say, these people all bought tickets to see me. It's not as if we didn't have like YouTube back in the day or subscriptions and satellites to watch every game. When I came to Philadelphia once a year, when I came to New York once a year, when I came to Washington once a year, those people expected to see me. I'm not taking off a day off here to show up in that arena and sit on the sideline. But the fact that the NBA is going towards the direction of rest is more important. These guys' careers, they want to keep them longer. They want to play 8 years. They want to play 15 years. They want to make sure they're healthy for the playoffs. I want to ask this question again before we get to the games yesterday. Is there going to be a time where we need to be, as an NBA, let's just say, ownership group, and also the NBA Players Union, just do away with the back-to-backs? The game, Kevin, will be so much better, because even though, like, there's one game tonight, I saw the games last night and say, you had a marquee game in Philadelphia. If you would have just had it one day apart, Joel Embiid would have played and Paul George, and it would have been fun to watch on a national audience and for Sixers fans alike. They both sat out, including Andre Drummond. It was a waste. Like, if I had tickets to that game where I knew Cleveland was unbeaten and go like, hey, man, I'm going to take my son down there. Let's have some fun and watch. You get to the game and go, I understand Jared McCain's good and he's young, but this sucks and this isn't fair. And they're not injured, Kevin. They're just not playing because you put a game on a back-to-back.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, DRS, where, you know, not only are you not being able to see your guys, like, you're now just projected to lose. Like, when you bought tickets to any Sixers game, like, you thought you were going to be heavily in the mix. Yeah. The back-to-backs are clearly a problem. What's interesting, though, is you look at tonight's NBA card, there's a game. And that's because, Donnie, the NBA, for the NBA Cup, zero times will a team play a cup game on the second leg of a back-to-back. Zero. Not once. 2 years going now. Because, Donnie, they know. They know that the back-to-backs are absolute killers to whether these guys are going to show up or not. I do want to make this point, though, Donnie. And you got to bear with me here. But right now, we're early on. The Sixers are the only team doing this. They're the only ones. They're not the only guys who have missed time. But Donnie, Kevin Durant injured. Lillard, I think, has a concussion. Steph got banged up. AD missed a game because of an ankle. Guys get banged up, right, Donnie?
Yes.
The 76ers did not have their two best players because it was a back-to-back. LeBron hasn't missed a game. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander hasn't missed a game. Tatum hasn't missed a game. You know what I'm saying, Donnie? Like, Kawhi is a different thing. I don't even know if he's on the Clippers roster. It's early, Donnie, but so far, we are not seeing guys sit for, I'm not playing the second leg of a back-to-back. So far, it's just injuries. Now, there's a chunk of them, right? But I think it's a little interesting to see if it stays that way.
And by the way, also, like, no other sport would do this. Now, I don't go to NBA games anymore, pretty much. Yeah. I went to them, obviously, in my childhood. But I just can't imagine, like, hey, Kevin, we're going to buy Eagles tickets. You're like, all right, stay away from the Sunday night games because players don't like to play Sunday nights. Yeah. Okay, then we'll just do Sunday day games. Baseball, make sure you don't do the Saturday night baseball game because players don't like to play Saturday night. They like to go out and relax Saturday night. Then they play again on Sunday. Like, the NBA, I guess it is a real thing because I don't buy Sixers tickets or any other tickets in the NBA. But I'm assuming that, hey, Dad, I want to go see the Lakers. You go, all right, son, I'll take you to see, like, LeBron James. That's going to be the Lakers in New York on that Saturday, son. They play the Sixers on Sunday. We can't go see the Lakers this year. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, you're playing Russian roulette with your tickets on who you want to see and if it's a back-to-back or not. But let's get back to the Cleveland Cavaliers. How real are the Cavaliers this year? 13-0. One of those teams for me that I looked at the past couple of years, hey, the talent is there. They just haven't put it together. Maybe underwhelming. And also the talks of last year, do we just blow this thing up with Spider Mitchell? You get a new head coach. Was that all they were missing here?
Well, it's undeniably helped, right? The thing is, we've seen the Cavs look good. I think it could be a situation, Donnie, where a young team, a little bit older, a little bit more ready to fire. Now, I'm a little surprised by it. I wasn't sure that Kenny Atkinson was just going to come in and fix everything. Okay, swing and a miss, he has. I don't have unders on the Cavs, but I certainly don't have futures that I lined up on in Cleveland either. The thing is, just to the question of, are they a contender? Yes. There's no pay attention to what's going on in the Eastern Conference. Okay? The preseason second and fourth choice or third and fourth choice to win the East, Milwaukee is 4-8, Philly is 2-9. maybe those teams can figure it out, get healthy, and get themselves in the mix, Donnie. Odds are one of them, at least one of them, probably will not. Orlando lost Bancaro forever.
Yep.
The Knicks are an under 500 team right now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The Pacers are an under 500 team currently. The Miami Heat are an under 500 team currently. So, Donnie, if the Eastern Conference playoff picture is going to have the Cavs and the Celtics as the top two seeds, a Knicks team that's getting a little bit better, and only one of Milwaukee or Philly, if you don't think the Cavs are contenders, then the Eastern Conference is already being represented by Boston. It is that simple. And Boston is the favorite, right? But I think very clearly, Donnie, Cleveland has a super real chance to represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals when we get there. I'm not betting them to do it right now, but of course they're a contender.
Yeah, tough night last night, too. Karl Anthony Towns goes nuts. They still lose that game at home. And
he's been ridiculous.
Yeah, the day before, you saw the Boston Celtics get beat by a team without even, you know, Big Trey in the lineup, getting over two touchdowns. Then they go on the road and absolutely scalp the Brooklyn Nets. So it's always fun to play out. But I love the three-point shot. It's like more and more important every single year. That's immediately where I looked about every game. I just look at guys like Tatum. He used to bury you by going 1-for-7 every night. The guy makes at least like 5 3-point shots a night every single night. It feels like, thank you for working on your game, Jason Tatum.
I have a quick question for you, though.
Yeah.
With the NBA, Donnie. Nikola Jokic is once again the favorite to win the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something that I'm trying to figure out if media's changed. I don't know what it is, but if the season ended today, Jokic would be deserving to win MVP and therefore would probably win it. Mm-hmm. But Donnie, there are a handful of years where, because I'm going to use the other guy, Michael Jordan was deserving to win MVP.
Yes.
And did not win it. What is it about 2023, 2024, 2025, where we go, it's just him again? Because Jokic is now barreling towards another MVP. It's so fascinating to me.
We're trying to give it away to somebody else. Luka, just come and take it. That's why the 4-1 price tonight, Kevin, standalone game. Finally, that triple-double happens. By the way, did you see one of my bets the other night? I needed Luka. I said, let me buy Luka. Kevin got burned the other night. So I went 28-8, and he goes 28-6. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, brother. Just kill him.
DRS. In that game, so just so I can join you on your pain.
Oh, yes.
I had a rebound assist parlay, no sweat in that game. That cashed. Luka got my 15th rebound plus assist, right? I was excited about the winner. Yeah, they took an assist away. I got hooked and lost.
Oh.
So right there with you. Right there with you. Man. Right there with you, brother.
Last night I had Caleb to make a triple in Philadelphia. That was nice. I had Yabusele to get 5 rebounds. I had Oubre to get 5. That was an old school DRS option. The NBA, I don't watch it day to day and get all ingrained into it. But betting it and following it, fantastic. Every night, multiple games, except for tonight. One game out there in these streets, and it's in Utah. We'll be back. I got a hot topic because, as they say, when you're right, DRS, you're right.
I know what that I've been waiting for this one all day.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Many men don't have takes as hot as me. How about that? How about that, K-Dub? That fit, because this hot take hits so good. And when I tell you, boots on the ground, when I know what goes on behind closed doors, I know what goes on behind closed doors. Anthony Richardson wasn't playing good football. And Kevin brought it up right away, as many as other people did. Yep. Boy, that's really interesting. High draft pick. Didn't really get a chance to evaluate it. You know there's going to be bumps and bruises. He's finally healthy. Why is he getting benched? And I said this was a great move because Indianapolis is trying to win right now and get to the playoffs and also make a point. Joe Flacco goes in, doesn't play very well. That was obviously an option that could have been there. Both games he played, not good enough, turning the football over, no question about it. Anthony Richardson is back. But before we get to that point here, when he got sat down, we had many a shows. I talked with Ben, I talked with you, I talked with everybody. Why would they make that move? And I said the only thing that makes some sense is, Kevin, number one, he's not playing well, and it is a win-now league, so there is something for that. But it just didn't make sense. It wasn't like, hey, the kid had 19 starts in a row. He's just not playing well. Let's sit him down. I felt there was a bigger picture here from what I was getting with Anthony Richardson. Like, I don't even know why I was benched. And I said, I can understand exactly what's going on. You come out of Florida, you are more talented than anybody by a wide margin. You don't have to read defenses. Maybe you don't have to work as hard as everybody else because you are just a better athlete and your athleticism overcomes a lot of that in college. He brought that same athleticism to the NFL, happy-go-lucky kid, and he's going, you know what? Do I have to study as hard? Do I have to work as hard here? If I don't know what the defense is, so what? I have a rocket arm. I'll just see when you're open and I'll deliver the football. I'm telling you behind the scenes was what I was saying. That's what was going on. He can't play because he's not actually putting in the work and the offense isn't functioning the way it's supposed to be, both good or bad. After 2 weeks, Kevin, you saw the quotes yesterday by Steichen and also by Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson said, you know what? Low-key, that was awesome. I got sat down. I just wasn't, he didn't say it, putting in the work, but I wasn't where I needed to be here. And Steichen, being a head coach, going like, if this is my franchise guy, I got to prove this point right now. I thought that organization handled this absolutely wonderfully. And I think they smoke the Jets this weekend.
So when this news all happened, right, Donnie, the benching, the questions, your feelings around it, Donnie, were not really backed up by what were being said, right? But your thought was like, hey, guys, just I'm telling you this is what's going on, right? And now that this, you know, and now that that's the way it's going. So what we're having now, Donnie, is you and I, role reversal. Yes. I understand what they're saying. I believe none of it. And I do not care one bit.
Come on.
Hold on, DRS, you are right to do your victory laps, but they are in the clouds. Shane Steichen, after that game, said, Joe Flacco is our guy until I say otherwise. And then came out and said it was Richardson. You know why? Because Shane Steichen makes none of the decisions in Indianapolis. And Shane Steichen is doing whatever Jim Irsay tells him to. Because Donnie, announcing Anthony Richardson, at this point in the process, doesn't even make sense. Go college football style, lie about it, and then give, go college football style, lie about it, and wait. Donnie, we asked Anthony Richardson, why were you benched? I don't know. They didn't tell me. Now, all the whole time, it was obvious that it was about detail. Shane Steichen is saying, Donnie, that the way Joe Flacco played had nothing to do with it. Flacco leading zero offensive touchdowns against Minnesota, opening with a pick six against Buffalo, didn't factor into what's going on. That if Joe Flacco went out there and beat the Vikings and beat the Bills, we'd still be starting Anthony Richardson. What they are doing, Donnie, in Indianapolis is lying. They're lying through their teeth, DRS, and it is plain as day to me.
But I don't know. I go back as a young kid, and they ask me why I got benched. I'm not saying I just don't work hard. I don't show up, and I skip three meetings this week. Like, no wonder he answered that question. He doesn't know. He knew exactly why. Just too embarrassing to say. But I do believe that the plan was always to go back to Anthony Richardson, and even this weekend, Kev, maybe it was one last test. Like, you know what? Flacco's been really bad. The kid's been working hard. Let me see how he handles this. Who's starting this week? Joe Flacco again. And he comes in the next morning on Tuesday morning and goes, God, Richardson's here at 5:30 in the morning here. You know what? He's back. Let's get him in there. Let's handle it. I really think that as I see the way you're playing this out, for me, I look at it opposite. I think that organization played this like a grand slam home run, and I think it's going to pay off.
So, again, like you and I think a lot of Steichen, Donnie, if he left that game on Sunday, said, I am not removing Flacco, and then saw Richardson in early and went, you know what, I got to get a, then they should fire Steichen on the spot. But he's not making the decisions, Donnie, because this stuff is all ridiculous looking. Like, Donnie, hold on a second now, because realistically, if it was all about Richardson's detail, right?
Yeah.
Then that means that that played out leading into the game against Buffalo, right? That's how that all played out. It was into the game against Buffalo. So why would Shane Steichen say, Joe Flacco is my starting quarterback until I say otherwise on that game after that performance Sunday? Why would you have to do that.
You can't make decisions on the spot. You can't do it. And no coach does that. Like, after a game, Donnie, it's like, you know
that
what?
Is a snap decision.
Can't start him anymore. No, it's not, because you're still basing it on what the previous week's practice plan going forward. Once you evaluate, once you listen in, sometime those adjustments made. Andy Reid's made those adjustments. Kevin Cobb is my quarterback going forward. 24 hours later, looked at the tape. Yeah, Mike Vick's in there. What am I crazy thinking to myself? That always goes into it. Coaches are so detached from reality so many different times. They do say things, snap on Sunday. Yes, he's my quarterback. Don't second guess me at this point. Then you have time to decompress and evaluate. That's what happens.
Yeah, I think we are watching, unfortunately, Donnie, Shane Steichen just get put in a situation where he does not have full control. And I'll say this, right? Let's pretend that they handled this well, which they did not. Donnie, they put Flacco in to lose two games. Is it Kenny Moore, the quarterback?
Yeah, they would have lost him anyway and probably lost their franchise quarterback, saying, I can just get away with whatever I want. And that's a wrap. Like, I think from a fundamental standpoint, they did exactly the right thing for Anthony Richardson. I saw his quote, which was perfect. You know what? I loved what they did. Like, I was out of control, not paying attention, and now I am. Love it. I can't wait to see what he does against the Jets, because if he stinks, bring back in Joe Flacco. That's where we'll go from there. Shane Steichen,
whatever
baby.
Your say
come on,
says.
Come on back to Philadelphia. I mean, Kellen Moore's going to get a head coaching job next year. You might get fired. You come back to Philly. It's all good at this point. Speaking of Philly, let's get back to it. Philly, Washington next, right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, yo.
Let's focus on tonight's action. Monster game. Perfect way to get your so-called weekend started. Philadelphia Eagles, Washington Commanders. The only 3.5 hanging out there, looks like, is from FanDuel. Everybody else has looked like they've moved on to 4. The total in this game, the 48.5, they're gone. They're all 49.5 now, just coming short of 50. And I agree with that, too. I do think we have points tonight, but the dictator tonight will be coming from the Philadelphia Eagles. And also, Kevin, as you know, I like to point out, Washington is a very good offense, got a great coordinator and an electric quarterback. He needs to move that football with his feet. Also through the air himself, because if you get a running mate tonight, Kevin, the Eagles would be more than happy to drop 35 right on Washington's head.
Yeah, that would be nice to see, because it's been some time since the Eagles have been able to get a running mate in one of these games. I wanted to ask you about it though, Donnie. Anthony Richardson's, you know, game logs on the rushing side of the football, right? Yeah. Every single game, just an absolute electric factory. Except for at Baltimore, where he only had 22. Like, Donnie, the game he got injured in, he still left with 50 rushing yards, which is just incredible.
Yes.
22 yards against Baltimore, and then just 5 last week against Pittsburgh.
Yes. Yep.
I don't know. Is there a game plan there?
I'm holding them down. Put it this way, Ray, people, I can guarantee you this. There will be a parlay with me, 25 rushing on each quarterback's filtered in with something else, 1,000%. There is no way in this football game that both of these quarterbacks don't run for at least, or I can't guarantee it, at least around 25-plus yards tonight. With Jaden Daniels, the chance, Kevin, to bust through 50 easily tonight. I believe that.
Yeah, that is going to be a number that I'm going to spend a lot more time on. That props at 43.5 right now. Just trying to get a sense of, you know, because it's clearly a bounce-back spot off of a low number, but what has Philly done against any mobile quarterbacks they've seen this year? And just, you know, I don't know how many mobile quarterbacks the Eagles have seen this year. I mean, there's only a handful of them, right, within this league anyway. And there's very few that compare to Jaden Daniels, of course. I will say, you mentioned Hurts on the mobility side of it, Donnie. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He found some juice. So I'm telling you, I've been talking about this with people, but he's found some juice. He really has. He looks much better running, doesn't he? Over the last few weeks?
He does. More decisive, too. The thing that's always going to make me angry, which you have to live with Jalen Hurts. He bails the pocket way too early a lot of times, but you have to live with that, because the plays that he usually makes to counteract that are usually pretty good. And if he is running, again, there's no flaws on this Eagles offense. Like, you can look at Washington tonight. Look, I like Brian Robinson Jr. I won't be betting him tonight, because you know me about hamstring injuries and coming back on a cold night and, you know, one cutback, I'm after the game. Like, I would look more towards Austin Eckler. Not many props out for him yet, because they try to figure out what that, you know, playing market is going to be for those two guys. But from an Eagle, the offensive line is good. The tight end is good. The wide receivers are good. The running back is good. The quarterback is good. Like, where do you not like it tonight? And again, getting back to the point, most people look at the Eagles like, not a very good defense. Ranked number one on Pro Football Focus. Number one. Second best pass rush, top pass coverage. And by the way, Cooper DeJean, minimum 150 snaps, the best overall defensive back in football. That's incredible. And also, Quinyon Mitchell, sensational. Absolutely, Kevin, locks down top wide receivers. Now, I don't know if he's going to lock down McLaurin where he doesn't get more than 35 yards that you have in, but the Eagles' defense is built for this right now.
It is so insane the way that that draft played out for Philly. Nobody drafted corner. They got on the clock, and people were like, ah, we really wanted DeGene, but Quinyon Mitchell's there. So they take Quinyon Mitchell, and, you know, people are excited about it, right? And then they get DeGene in the second round, and it's like, hold on a second. The Eagles just got maybe the top two guys on their realistic board in this draft. And, man, I remember I heard Donnie, someone over the offseason who was low on Philly, make the comment of like, ah, you know, sometimes it's hard for these young DBs to get involved in the league. No, it's not. It's literally the exact opposite. If a cornerback has the goods, you find out right away. Sauce Gardner, Donnie, walked into the NFL and was just the best cornerback in football. His rookie season. Like, he won Defensive Rookie of the Year. He could have won Defensive Player of the Year. That's how good Sauce Gardner was. That's what happens with these kids when they come out of college. They either have it or they don't, and those two both have it, and it is such a game changer for Philadelphia.
It is. I got a lot of work to do on this game, but it's one of those excitement ones again. Like, Thursday nights have been generally fun for us to sort of handicap and break down. Last week, we had an epic game. Tonight, I think we get another one. It is a short work week, but again, I love these games. I talk about so many times. Washington to Philadelphia on like an hour and 15-minute train ride or whatever it is not the same as getting on a plane for 6 hours and flying out to the West Coast. Both of these teams should be sharp and ready to go. Both of these teams look like they're healthy at the right time. I think we get unbelievable juice tonight. So join us in studio tonight. Pro Football Today. The boys will be live. Myself, Kevin, and Tom Vecchio filling in for Joe Lisi. But that'll do it for today's show. Thanks for tuning in. For Kevin, for Donnie, behind the Steelers, Chris, thank you so much for joining us. Tomorrow's a Football Friday. We'll get right back at it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.